Being a mother is one of the most important, most influential, most difficult, and yet sometimes the most thankless role a person can ever have. In fact, a definition of a mother is one person who does the work of 20 for free.
Amen.
And so today we want to say thank you, moms, for all you do. God bless you a lot. Now today I don't want to preach, because how dare I preach to mothers? I know better. But it reminds me of a fellow who came home from work one day to find total mayhem at home. Kids were still outside in their pajamas playing in the mud. There were empty food boxes and wrappers all around. As he proceeded into the house, he found even a bigger mess. Dishes on the counter, dog food spilled on the floor, a broken glass under the table, and a small pile of sand by the back door. The family room was scattered with toys and various items of clothing, and a lamp had been knocked over. He headed up the stairs, stepping over toys to look for his wife. He was becoming worried that she may be ill or that something had happened to her. Well, he found her in the bedroom, still in bed with her pajamas on, reading a book. She looked at him, smiled, and asked how was his day. He went on, he looked at her with, he was bewildered, and he asked, "What happened here today?" She again smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and ask me what I did today?" "Yes," was his reply. She answered, "Well, today, I didn't do it." We talk about wives and mothers and grandmothers and mothers-in-law, and the perspective us husbands and grown children have towards them. But let's see what some of the little children think about their mothers. The following are different questions given by school-age children, or answers given by school-age children to the stated questions. For example, why were mothers created? The child said, "Mostly to clean the house." What ingredients are mothers made of? Child said, "Clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and a dab of mean." What kind of little girl was your mom? "I don't know, because I wasn't there, but I would guess she would be pretty bossy." "They say she used to be nice." How did your mom meet your dad? "My mom was just walking in the street and my dad found her." What did your mom need to know about dad before she married him? "His last name, his background. Like, is he a crook? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores?" "Why did your mom marry your dad?" The child said, "My grandma says my mom didn't have a thinking cap on." "Who's the boss at your house?" "Mom. You can tell by room inspection. She sees the stuff under the bed, she can see through the walls, and she has eyes at the back of her head." What's the difference between mums and dads? Dads are taller and stronger, but mums have all the real power. What's the difference between mums and grandmums? Grandmas. The child said, about 30 years, I think. Besides, you can always count on grandma for candy. Is anything about your mum perfect? The child said, just her children. And one more, okay. What would it take to make your mum perfect? The child said, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. But mothers don't usually have inflated opinions about themselves. Mums actually prefer to keep it real, be real. And they don't have time to pretend to be someone else. The following is a mum's realistic view of herself. Her name was Irma Bombeck. I know lots of people know Irma Bombeck. Irma Bombeck said that she admired mothers who calmly say to their misbehaving children, "Don't make mummy have to raise her voice." Irma said, "On the contrary, I'm a shouter. When my children misbehave, I'm told that my shouts register on the Richter scale and cause vibrations in the next state." Irma also said, I used to watch a woman getting flushed and angry while they chewed out their children, and I'll say to myself, my goodness, that woman is going to have a heart attack. No one should discipline their child in anger. And Irma said, I used to often say that when I was 5. And while I was being given a licking by my mom, she said, I always thought, what's wrong with these ladies? Irma concluded that having children of my own knocked a hole in that theory. She concluded that there were only 32 hours out of every week when she wasn't angry. And that was when she was sleeping. That's a real mom, man. That's a real mother. She got no time to pretend. But listen, friends, let's move towards something more serious. Let's look at how Scripture portrays godly influence of mothers. And we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 2. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I want to repeat verse 5. It's the next slide. Just by itself. Thank you, Candace. I have been reminded, Paul says, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. You see, Eunice, friends, was a single mother in a very scary world. She was a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. She'd been married to a Greek unbeliever who had either left or had passed away. And like today, raising a child in a single parent home was no picnic. Then again, there are times of compensation. I'll tell you this little story. A little boy invaded a dress department of a big department store and said to the salesperson, "I want to buy my mom a dress, but I don't know what size. Is she tall or short, fat or skinny?" asked the clerk. "Well, she's just perfect," answered the boy. He wrapped up a size 8 for him. 2 days later, mom came and exchanged the dress for size 16. And you see, Eunice's boy, Timothy, was that kind of a child. He thought his mother was just perfect. And there was good reason for this. Eunice was a wise and spiritually strong mother. Her priorities were learned at her mother Lois's knee. And she now passes it on to Timothy. It was a British politician, Anthony Ashley Cooper, also known as Lord Shaftesbury. He was born in 1801 and died in 1885. He said, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. Do you see how powerful this is, friends? Do you know, I like the different versions and the words they use. In Philippians 2, verse 20, Paul is about to send young Pastor Timothy. He was about to send Timothy to the church in Philippi. And he makes the following statement about Timothy. Listen what he says. "I have no one else like Timothy. I have no one else like Timothy." And again in Acts chapters 16, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, he, that is Paul, came to Derbe and then to Lystra. And he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers, the believers at Lystra and Iconium, they spoke well of him. Friends, what the people are seeing, what Paul is seeing in Timothy, is a direct result of the spiritual, godly influence of his mother and grandmother. Amen? What was it that caused Paul to make this commendable statement regarding his son in the faith? Again, the answer is found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, where Paul recalls the profound influences that Timothy had on his life. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." When we look at the lives of great men and women of faith, we often discover somewhere in the shadows of their greatness stands a godly influence of a mother who's in touch with God. Someone has said, mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. For example, Abraham Lincoln and D.L. Moody said, all that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. Lois and Eunice were women of faith, and they passed this faith on to young Timothy. And I want to encourage you, mothers. I want to encourage you, men, yeah, in the church too, to take your faith seriously. Take your faith seriously. Children know when you are faking it. Children know when your walk is not matching your talk. It is by your own attendance at worship services, friend, by your own participation in the life and the mission of the church, by the effort you put in the deepening of your own relationship with the Lord, that will determine what lessons about the Lord and the church that your children and grandchildren first learn. Your children learn more than the Sunday school teachers can teach them. They learn more from you. Someone has said, a Christian mother's most vital task is passing the faith on, not only by what she says, but what she is. Howard Hendricks is a professor at Dallas Theological College or seminary, once said, if your Christianity doesn't work at home, it doesn't work. Children and grandchildren need to see you attending church regularly. They need to see you reading the Bible and praying. Lois and Eunice, they lived their faith out in front of Timothy. They taught him the Word of God and how to live the Christian life. And Paul encourages Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15. But as for you, he's talking to Timothy, continue in that, in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty, eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Version, the way it moves the reader from one passage to the other with confident feeling of accuracy from the original text. The third preferred Moffat because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of the phrase that captures the attention of the reader. And after giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar admitted, I have personally preferred my mother's translation. When the other scholars start to laugh and jeer, he responded, yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I ever say. Lois and Eunice had disciplined themselves into maintaining a home where Jesus Christ was central, where Jesus Christ was a priority, and that discipline rubbed off unto Timothy. Mothers, continue to influence your children for the Lord. Even if they are grown up and have left home, do the same for your grandchildren. Pray for them and let them know this. The one thing I loved when I phoned my mother was when she told me, "I'm praying for you, boy." Because even in my 50s, she always introduced me as her baby. And she continued to pray for me. I want to encourage you, moms. I was talking to a 96-year-old lady. I went to visit this lady, and she got up to make me a cup of tea. And I was so scared because she was using this hot water and that. And as she was making me this tea, she was telling me that her children are not serving the Lord yet. And I said, "Pray for them." And she looked at me and she said, "Oh, but I do." I kind of felt silly after that, but you know what? Moms, I know you pray for your children. Continue to pray for them. Continue to be a godly influence in their lives. After one of the battles of the Civil War, a chaplain came to see a man who had not much time left to live. He took the young soldier's hand and said, "Brother, what can I do for you?" And the boy replied, "I want you to kneel down and return thanks for me. An unusual request from someone who is about to die." "Thanks for what?" asked the chaplain. And the young soldier said, "Thank him for my mother. Thank him that because of her, I am a Christian. What would I do now if I was not a Christian?" Amen. Mothers, be encouraged to serve God with all your heart. Be all that God wants you to be. And in Proverbs, Helen read it, I think, earlier as part of her passage. Proverbs 31, verse 28 to 30 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." I want to conclude now, friends. Again, I want to talk about Irma Bombeck, who died on April 22nd, 1996. Irma was a great writer and humorist. Let's spend a moment with something she wrote about Mother's Day. This is what she said. "I was a major force in my child's life. Sometimes we forget how important stability is to a child. I've always told mine, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is to show up for it each day. Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces. All the old gum they held in their hands, all the noses they wiped, and all the bloody knees they made well with a kiss. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, and enduring all the football games in the rain. It's appreciation day for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do. Not believing them when they said, 'I hate you,' and sharing their good times and their bad times. Their cards probably won't reflect it, but what they are trying to say is, thank you for showing up. Today I want to thank all moms, she said, out there for the difficult and often thankless job they do. Mothers are so very important. We could not have made it without them. They have provided great comfort and stability for their children through the years. God says, honor thy mother, and I think most would agree that mothers are worthy of honor. Be sure to let your mom know that she is special, that you really appreciate her. Some of us here, our moms are already gone to be with the Lord. And we feel sad because, oh, we'd like them to be here. But we know they are with the Lord. I want to encourage you, all of us, to honor our mothers today. My philosophy, some mothers have children. All these young girls here too, they are mothers. They mother everybody else's children. But they are wired for that. God has put it in your heart, and we honor you too today. We honor our mothers-in-law, our grandmothers, our mothers, our wives who are the mothers of our children. We honor you today. God loves you, ladies. Be encouraged to be the kind of woman that takes the task of leading your family close to God and godliness seriously. That scripture's up there. Let me quote the first part and the last part. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. So on behalf of your families and the church family, thank you, moms, for everything. Know that you are loved, even when it isn't said or shown. Thanks for making a difference in our lives. Thanks for loving us. God bless you all, and have a happy Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's give the moms our hands. The crowning jewel of God's creation. I want all the mums to stand. All the young ladies, say 20 and over, stand please. All the ladies. All the ladies stand. I want to say thank you. I love you so much. And I know your children and family love you dearly. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every mom who's here. Every lady who's here, Lord, that you love so dearly. Help them never to give up on their children or their families. Help them to continue to serve you. Help them to continue to be an example, a godly influence in the lives of their children. Lord, bless them. Cause your face to shine them, Lord, on them. In Jesus' name, amen.